The shapes of prophets are many. They come as social critics pointing at society's failures, often acting as visual artists using performance to critique the errors they despise. Prophets of doom make their frightening pronouncements of the coming end times whenever a people fails to live by their self-professed standards. And prophets describe seeing the future in trance states or by interpreting allegories using cards or natural signs. For a decade now, Karl Dobsky, the postmodern Cassandra of Los Angeles, has been painting the downfall of West Coast hypocrites, crafting great paintings of reckless Angelenos partying poolside like glitterati Neros, while a wildfire inferno devours the Hollywood Hills behind them. Of blind and self-centered dinner party guests feasting while foul hyenas scavenge at their feet. Of savage and roaring white rioters looting a grocery store. Of a ship of fools idiotically steering themselves to their own destruction at the falls. The entranced Pythia of the Temple of Apollo at Delphi breathed her volcanic oracles to the ancient Greeks, inhaling wisdom from the subterranean fumes of the underworld that rose from a crack in the world beneath the sacred enclosure of her temple, which was set at the centre of the earth, marked by an intricately carved omphalos. Dobsky's studio sits in Los Angeles at the center of the entertainment world, where the miasmic fog of dystopian amusement flows from the tectonic faults in the city as the cultural smog clouds of the hybrid poison gases of television, film, and video. To shape his visions, Dobsky sucks in these hallucinatory vapors and exhales his images of Armageddon. He says, "What I like about the apocalypse, or the inferno, or hell, is that it pushes things to an extreme, and a lot of things fall out when you push things to an extreme." The ancient world's leaders came to Pythia to ask insight from the gods, for Apollo spoke directly from her mouth. But as the gods always do, the son of Zeus only revealed his words in phrases of ambiguity and paradox. When King Croesus, of legendary wealth, was unsure whether he should make an alliance with the Persians or attack them, he famously consulted Pythia, and she told him that if he attacked, he would destroy a great empire. Filled with confidence, Croesus equipped his armies and marched to the fight, only to lose in battle against the enemy at Thymbria, again at Sardis, and a great empire did fall, but it was his own. The prophets always speak in allegories. Nostradamus' followers claim his occult quatrains as descriptions of the COVID-19 pandemic, Hitler, the atomic bomb. He wrapped his revelations in abstruse language, cloaking his predictions so heavily that it is impossible to know with certainty precisely what they are supposed to mean. Prognostication always tastes better with a seasoning of hindsight. But Dobsky's painted condemnations of the people who are blind to the sicknesses that afflict the West were true when he made them, and are even more significant now as we eat ourselves with guilt over the original sin of slavery, chewing on the expanding division between the very rich and everyone else, and biting out cultural landmarks as microaggressions. Dobsky says, "If you really want to test somebody's mettle, or really find out who they are, what you do is look at them underneath a stressful situation. You don't look at them when they're nice and comfortable, you look at them when they're uncomfortable and when stakes are high. Is that person going to cave? Are they going to stick to their principles?" And that's why I find those situations interesting. As his role as a studio soothsayer took shape, Dobsky stopped cutting his hair. Now, like a Nazarite armed with a paintbrush, he stands before his paintings with a Tanakh prophet's long hair and beard. But he's no Jeremiah. Dobsky's messages are clear. The paintings are meta-prophecies, Although critical of the self-indulgent rich, they appear in art galleries which sell expensive art to the people who can afford them. His allegories are readily interpreted. Look at us. We consumers who admire the products of his mind are the same people he points to. We consume ourselves. Dobsky is the perfect chronicler of this period of American autophagy. The inescapable irony that as a supplier of luxury goods he critiques precisely what he does leads him to moments of hilarious satire. This trio of babbling fools riding ridiculous newspaper vending machines like rafts in the rising waters of the flood. These bitter old men crouched in their own graves, fighting with shovels like bickering children, so preoccupied with their juvenile struggle that they're oblivious to their own doom. These dinner guests talking and eating with their eyes closed and mouths open and gesturing to themselves while the hyenas scavenge at their feet. They appear to be communicating, but none of them are listening. Dobsky says, I wanted something that on the surface was rather cultured and civilized, and then, underneath, I wanted something kind of savage and vicious. The nasty narcissism of Angelino society emerges distinctly in his painting Birds of Paradise. Dobsky explains, I was actually at a little jazz club here in Los Angeles, and I was listening to this performer, and there were these people who were across the way that were really loud and cackling and laughing, and I was sort of new to LA and the culture of LA, and I just remember thinking to myself, God, I hate you, you know, you're just so obnoxious. And all of a sudden there were candles, all the tables were candle-lit, and it was something about the fire, the candles, and the cackling of the people that really set me off in a way. And then, of course, I reinterpreted that. The whole ship is going down. All they really wanted to do was continue with the party. It is uncomfortable when a satirical finger points at ourselves. But self-examination and the pain of readjustment are necessities for a healthy liberal democracy. Western capitalist culture needs voices like Dobsky's to remind it of the injustices that financial excess brings when we neglect investment in practical compassion, and we value such imagery as the uncomfortable marker of social change. Prophet Dobsky wears the haircloth clothes of his predecessor, Gustave Courbet, whose painted critiques of bourgeois France and participation in the political theatre of the Paris Commune fated him to exile, where he died alone and poor, and his entire inventory of paintings was seized by the French government. But his art is his legacy, not this humiliation, and because he captured the progressive voice of his time, his work has become iconic and highly valued. Unless COVID-19 causes its cancellation again, in January 2021, Dobsky will have 6 paintings in a rescheduled 3-person show at Maxwell Alexander Gallery, alongside works by Justin Coro Kaufman and Sean Barber.